Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking tonight to Prince George's County Executive Rushuren Baker about politics and much, much more. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let me talk to Anthony calling from Southeast D.C. Anthony, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good evening. And to Mr. Baker, I'm living currently in Southeast Washington, thinking about moving into Maryland. I'd like to hear your economic plan for the growth of the entire state of Maryland. You've done a great job in PG County, but what about the entire state? What is your economic development plan?
Well, thank you for that question. We're very proud of the economic development growth in the county. We just found out this year that, not this year, but this month, and our job numbers are higher than any other place in the state. It means that we have one of the fastest job growth of any place. I think they can happen throughout the entire, state of Maryland. And not just that it wasn't that way 5 years or 7 years ago. It's because we focus on developing and attracting businesses, commercial businesses, to the county. Well, you can do that throughout the state. If you look at places like where we're seeing, our problem of attracting jobs in Western Maryland or Eastern Shore, where the industries are leaving, I think you look at something what we did in Prince George's County, like 2U, which is an online education system that is employing somewhere right now about 600 jobs, can go up to 1,000, but they literally can be anywhere, So why not provide the incentives for those businesses to grow in Western Maryland, to grow in on the Eastern Shore, or to grow in our places, in areas around the state. The other thing that we have to look at, and what we tried to do in the county, is match the training and opportunities with the jobs that are coming in. So when we do our reentry programs, when we do workforce development, it's around those industries that we see there's a need for it. So whether it's MGM or whether it's high tech, is providing the training to individuals so they're able to get those jobs. And then we focus on making sure that people in Maryland, and that's what I would do, are hired first. So if we're building a brand new hospital in Prince George's County, or we're revamping a dorm on the Eastern Shore, we want to make sure there are Maryland companies that hire locally and that there are Maryland jobs that go into them.
Anthony, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Speaking of jobs development and all of those things, the FBI headquarters situation, in a word, it was bad.
Yeah, it's disappointing.
It was really bad. It was bad for Prince George's. It was bad for Maryland. It was bad for Virginia. It was bad for Fairfax.
It was bad for the United States. Here you have a building that is crumbling. You have men and women who are dedicated to keeping us all safe. And the president unilaterally decides that he's going to scrap a deal that has been worked on for 10 years. You have FBI agents that are deployed all around the Washington region. And so you not only spent thousands of dollars, millions of dollars developing this plan over the last 10 years, and you don't move forward, not because you don't have any money, is you're saying all the money we need isn't up front right now. The federal government has never done projects like that. The county government doesn't. As long as you have enough money to move the project forward and you have an assurance that you will get the money coming in. We're not going to have all the money to build a new regional medical center. But what we have is the money to start the project, and we have a commitment in writing from the state that they will fund it. That's what happened with the FBI. So this decision doesn't make any sense. It's bad for the United States in this time when we're talking about how our security, to have an outdated, antiquated, and falling down building that you're going to put men and women in.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. James calling from Forestville. James, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
This is James from Fort Washington.
Oh, Fort Washington. Okay. James, yes. Go right ahead.
Yes, how are you doing? Yeah, pivoting back to the school issue. The board of the education board continuously wants to rezone the Fort Washington elementary students out of Accokeek Academy into all the way over into Brandywine. And I'm just wondering, their justification is that the school cannot accommodate the children who typically feed into that school. It can no longer accommodate it. So I'm just wondering, why did they build a school, a brand new facility that is small, that cannot accommodate the kids that typically feed into that school? And it's like the residents are fighting, and the justification is like they're almost trying to force the Fort Washington, the kids that go to Potomac Landing and Fort Washington Forest out of that school, all the way into Brandywine. I wanted to know what your position is on that. It seems as though it's almost academic redlining to not send those kids into that school.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, actually, I'm going to have to look into that issue. I'm not, you know, I know both of the schools. I know that we make decisions on boundaries based on capacity in terms of the number of students that are there, especially when you're dealing with elementary school or middle schools. But I will do this. If there's a way to get the caller's information, I can get back to him with an answer.
Okay, yeah, my producer will get that information, and we'll pass that on to you. James, thank you so much for calling. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Rhonda calling from Temple Hills. Rhonda, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello, Mr. Baker. How are you this evening?
I'm good. Thank you.
I'm calling because I'm concerned about money going toward education. I was told that the money from the casino should be going toward education. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct.
Okay, can you tell me maybe how much the percentage is going toward education?
So here's, and we did a town hall meeting throughout the county talking about this issue. So the money, there are two pots of money that come from gaming, as they call it. There's a pot of money, and the bulk of it goes to the state. The state is supposed to take that money, put it into a education trust fund, and then it goes out to all the jurisdictions in Maryland. There's also local dollars, so we get local dollars in Prince George's County. Our commitment at the local level, which we control, was that 50% of every dollar that comes from MGM would go into our education system. We've kept our commitment. We've done that. You know, that's why the school system has seen the largest increase we've ever had in funding for our education system this past budget. That is also why we're being able to at least pay down and offer, you know, students who are challenged the ability, 500 students, to go to our community college free, and we enhance our libraries. The issue becomes when dealing with the state, which doesn't have a separate fund like we do in the county. All of their money goes into the general fund. The percentage that gets back to us, we found out this, that under the current, you know, under Governor Hogan, what they've done with that money is they've used it to supplant what was already there. So they're taking money from MGM or other gaming facilities. It goes into the general fund. It doesn't augment. It doesn't add to. It's a formula, and they send it back out. So you're not getting extra money. At the county level, we're increasing it.
So let me, before we lose Rhonda here, I want to be clear about what you're saying, because, you know, the reports that have come out just within the past 2 weeks or so are suggesting that, for example, MGM is a cash cow. It has pulled some activity from the Arundel Mills facility, the Baltimore facility, and so with all of this money just coming into MGM, where's the money? You know, what's happening?
Yeah. So there's two parts. The local share, just like there's a local share for Baltimore, local share for Live or any other where that's casinos. That's controlled locally by whether it's Anne Arundel County, Baltimore City, or Prince George's County. With our dollars, I can tell you for certain, here's how we're spending it. 50% of everything that we get from MGM goes to our school system.
Have you gotten a count of?
I think this year we probably estimated it's going to be somewhere, you know, and don't hold me to the exact figure, but somewhere around $20 million that we're bringing in. What we hope is by the end of, you know, when it's fully up and running and has been operation for a while, we're hoping that goes up to about $41 million. a year. So that's $41 million the county can use in our general fund. But we've passed legislation at the county level that says 50% of whatever we get in from MGM, if it's a dollar, you know, 50 cents must go to education. Now, the other 50 goes to improving road conditions around, especially around, you know, National Harbor and 210. It goes to our public safety. It goes to our health department. So that money, but 50% of it has to go. The issue comes up is when the bulk of the money, and 90% of it is going to go back to the state. The state decides, you know, the governor decides how that money is spent, allocated. The state has made an option that they would pay down, I think, debt rather than putting the money into education or other things. We don't think that's the way it should be because it was sold as this money would be used for education. Mm-hmm. And we think the bulk of the money, the large part of the money should be used toward education. The other thing I want our viewers to know is that money at the state level is required to go into the general fund, and that's controlled by what the governor does. And so what we've said to them is, well, if we're getting all this money from MGM, and you're getting 90% of it, then that money should be used toward the education system, not only in Prince George's County, but throughout the state of Maryland. It should go to education first, infrastructure second, because a lot of these facilities require that the local government maintain the roads and things of that nature, and then to, you know, to the other needs of the state.
Rhonda, thank you so much for your phone call. I want to ask you real quick about the Westphalia project, because this goes back to economic development. What is the status of that project? Is it behind? Are there retailers that are coming in? I know that was a big issue with you when you talked about economic development during your first year in office, bringing retailers here. We've not seen as much, I would dare say, as much as you've wanted.
You know, we've seen a great deal of retailers coming in. It's certainly in certain areas, it hasn't grown as fast as we certainly would like to see. Westphalia is one of those. We're excited about what they are doing. You know, moving the project forward, it was stalled for years. The developers have come in and they've pushed it. Certainly, we'd like to see more come in. You know, the retailers named, they haven't named them yet. But we've been very pleased with projects like you're going to see a difference at the Boulevard at the Cap Center. We're excited about the retails that are going to come in there, along with having the new hospital, having the new county administration building along that area. Certainly the retail that you see along Route 1, we've been pleased with. National Harbor, Laurel, even groundbreaking in at Brandywine at the Cadillac area, a hotel in Brandywine. So the retail's coming in. Is it here as fast as we want in every part of the county? No. But I think people are getting glimpse of it, you know, whether it's, Riverdale Station, where the Whole Foods is there. But I tell people housing and restaurants and retail are coming in there. So it's a big project. We're very pleased with it.
Amy calling from Forestville. Amy, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes. Hi. Hello, Mr. Baker.
Hello.
I actually am a resident of Forestville, Maryland. I live near Walters Lane and Hillmar Drive. That has been an area that has been riddled with shootings, robberies, all types of crimes for several years. And it seems as though it continues to go neglected and this area just falls off the radar. I mean, once, you know, a killing will occur, then we'll see a slight increase in police presence, but then it will quickly, you know, drop off and the same things will occur. We've had businesses that have come and go in this area because of the crimes that are continuously taking place. And I just wanted to know, is there a community policing program that you can put in place that would help this area, which is very much like at war, so to speak, because there's always some type of criminal activity occurring?
First of all, I want to let you know that certainly we are. I mean, part of the 12-hour shifts to do that. But even before then, we have a community policing presence. I, as we are speaking now, I am texting the chief of police and also Our deputy county administrator for public safety, Mark McGall, who used to be the chief of police, and to get you an answer, because it should not be that way. The whole idea is there should be a presence. You should see it, and you should see a decrease in activities.
Okay. Amy, thank you so much for calling. You may have missed it. We've actually received several phone calls tonight about that specific intersection, and we've been talking about it quite a bit over the past half hour or so. So certainly, if nothing else, it's definitely getting the attention of the county executive. So thank you so much for your phone call. We need to take a break. When we come back, more from County Executive Rushern Baker. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation with Prince George's County Executive Rushern Baker. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810.
Harold, can I say this real quick before? Because one, I want to thank you for this. I'm getting a lot of calls about Forestville. I also want the listeners to know if there's an issue like this happening in your neighborhood, that's why we do have 311. It doesn't mean that, you know, the 911 is for those emergencies you see right there. But I do want them to know that there's an opportunity to get to us and for me to look at these issues. But I'm going to take the Forestville issues. I'm texting with the chief now.
Okay. You want to be governor. Why? Are you bored?
I certainly, after, you know, the time we spent here tonight, you know, I'm not bored. There are some things I really care deeply about that I think we need to change around the state, starting with our education system. We live in the wealthiest state in the wealthiest nation on earth. And yet in the state of Maryland, there are great education systems, but not everywhere, much like Prince George's County they are. I want to see that go throughout. Now, the only way that's going to happen is two ways. One, we're about to talk about how to do funding at the state level for education. We need to make sure that places like Baltimore, Prince George's County, the Eastern Shore, other areas are getting, one, the funding that we promised they would get. You know, that's why we did things like, you know, the gaming issue. That money would go in to help. The other thing is to make sure the quality of instructions are going in there. So I want to see us really tackle this at the state level where it should be. The other thing is we're now fighting with the federal government on health insurance and health care. The Affordable Care Act not only cut, you know, uninsured and in Prince George's County by 50%, it actually had a dramatic impact throughout the state of Maryland. We need to make sure that everybody in our great state has access to quality health care. And then when the federal government is taking that away, that we push back hard. Infrastructure. You can't create jobs unless you have the infrastructure around the state. We've been able to create jobs in Prince George's County because we invested in that infrastructure, which attracted businesses to us. The state is losing jobs as a whole. I feel like, you know, you need the leadership at the top, and I want to work on those issues.
Well, speaking of leadership, though, I mean, you know, Maryland historically is a Democratic state. Yep. And yet we've had over the past 10 years or so, we've had two Republican governors, and Larry Hogan is extremely popular. What makes you think you can beat him?
Well, one, you know, Ehrlich was popular also. People liked him. And, you know, from what I know about the governor, he seems like he's a likable guy. The question is, are we getting the kind of leadership in Maryland that we need? Are we addressing issues? You just talked about us losing the FBI. That's not a little thing. That's a big thing. And it's one at the very highest level. We should be talking to the Trump administration. They're in the same party. You know, they're both Republicans. Why not call the president up and say, hey, do you know what you're doing here? Fort Detrick, right now we have the Trump administration that's getting ready to cut funding at Fort Detrick that's doing inspections for to make us safe in the United States. The governor has to be the one on the phone talking to the president and federal officials. Health insurance. You know, the Affordable Care Act, whether it stays the way it is or whether it goes away, is going to have a dramatic impact on people in Maryland right now who have health insurance, and tomorrow they could lose it. The governor has to be the one that's dealing with that and leading on it. And that simply has not happened. And I think that's what you'll see throughout the campaign. That's why so many Democrats are running because we see the fact that that's going to be a critical issue.
But you just made a really interesting point. If what you say is true about the current Republican governor not having a good rapport, not talking with the current Republican president, what makes you think that a Rashearn Baker, a Democrat, would have a better line of communication with this, dare I say, unique Republican president?
Well, certainly, and it started before Trump. I mean, it certainly wouldn't be any worse than what's currently going on. The other thing that we could do as a state is what other states are doing, and that is, what is our plan of action if the Affordable Care Act is either overturned, you mean, is if withdrawn by the Trump administration, or if it's not tweaked? We know it needs to be tweaked. What's Maryland's readiness? That hasn't, you know, the governor hasn't talked about that. What do we do to make sure that we expand access to health care here? What are we doing, you know, within the state to make sure that there is paid sick leave for employees? What are we doing to make sure, and around education, that we're doing all the things in Maryland to make sure that we are making sure people get a quality education throughout the state? And how are we creating jobs, which is how we're going to actually have the resources to fund these problems? You know, those are things you have to do at the executive level and at the state executive level. And those are the things that I want to work on.
Let's go to Lennox calling from Bowie. Lennox, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, Harold.
Hi.
Hey, I hear what Mr. Baker is saying. But the thing is that many of the accomplishments that he's talking about had been set in motion when Wayne Curry had been in office. And I'm trying to figure out exactly what exactly Mr. Baker has done. For example, in Prince George's County, the small business ownership level has been abysmal. And yet I haven't seen anything to see what Mr. Baker has done to increase or make it where it is more small businesses are available for minority ownership in Prince George's County.
Well, let's see. Well, let me give him an opportunity to answer that because we are low on time.
Yeah. I don't know where the caller is getting this information, but we've actually expanded the number of small and local businesses that are in the county, and that's why we've been able to see the job growth. If you're talking about the economic development that's happening around the new hotel that's at College Park, if you're looking at what happened in MGM, most of those jobs that were here were created by small local businesses and minority businesses in the county.
Virginia businesses?
No, they were not. They were not Virginia. They were Maryland based. It was a requirement. Oh.
They were subcontracted through Virginia, not through Maryland. I was looking.
I can guarantee you, part of it, I can guarantee you they were Maryland-based businesses. That was a requirement.
In Prince George's County?
They were in Prince George's County businesses, and they had to be Maryland-based because MGM was a state project. The one we're working on with the hospital coming up, the same thing. We actually passed a law in Prince George's County that the first opportunity has to go to Prince George's County-based businesses, and you get points for minority businesses. We revamped our minority business to supplier diversity so that we can, make sure that there are more of these small businesses that are getting contracts. So I don't know where the information you're getting from, but we certainly will be happy to send that to you and educate you on that.
And short of sending it to him, where should he go to look for information? Would it be the economic development?
Right. You can go to there are two places, our Economic Development Corporation, and you can go to our website where our supplier diversity office is. And that's an area where we've helped, small and local businesses get opportunities for not only contracts with the county, but also with private sector businesses that are coming in here.
Thank you so much, Lennox. I appreciate it. Real quick, Barrington calling from Southeast. What's on your mind? Barrington,
thanks for the call, guys.
Yeah, go right ahead. Real quick.
I'm a Southeast resident, and I'm thinking about moving to Prince George's County. I wanted to know if you had any insight on the West Failure Project I know that there were some rumors of potential defaults on loans and people needing extensions. I wanted to know if that actually the actual project was coming to fruition.
No, the actual project is still on target. One of the things that Harold and I have been talking about is the retail portion of it. But the housing portion is still on target and moving forward. We'd like to see them name, you know, the retail portions. But it's a great project. It's an area where the county is putting a lot of resources in. And, you know, we're putting a lot of resources in the Suitland and Forestville area. So, no, it's a beautiful project.
Okay. Barrington, thank you so much. I only have about a minute or so left, but I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about your wife, and not only about how she's doing, but how you are doing in reference to taking care of her, as well as how it may affect your plans.
You know, well, thank you, first of all, Harold, for asking about it. She's, everything considering, she's doing well. I told people we just, you know, celebrated our baby graduating from college. We had a reception over our house. You know, the things that the children and I focus on is how do we make sure that other families out there get the same types of support that we're getting, and how do we bring it into the cost for financial and emotional for Alzheimer's and dementia. And so we've worked very hard to raise money and awareness, and we'll continue to do so. But we're very blessed. She is the greatest advisor I have.
I know that, you know, her condition is still, you know, tenuous. And, you know, last time you were here, you were saying she's not speaking. But does she understand you?
You know, she does. You know, it's one of those beautiful things that, you know, you never know when you're going to get a word out of her. But she definitely understands. And beautiful part is my daughters, anytime they walk into a room, she understands exactly what they're talking about. And so we're very blessed. But we want to make sure other people have that support.
Well, you know, certainly, you know, I personally wish you, you know, the best of luck. I know it is not easy, whether you're a county executive or running an ice cream truck. You know, we all have loved ones that we need to take care of. So, you know, good luck to you. And I certainly wish her the best of health. And good luck to you, Mr. Baker. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Harold. Thank you very much.
Sure thing. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, July 14th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Taylor Thomas, Troy.